But I'd love to start with a little bit of sort of your origin story. It's very unique. So you started out as a mechanical engineer at MIT before you got into becoming a surgeon. Tell us a little bit about that. How did that start?
It really started pretty early. My dad used to make the figures for Macy's windows. If you remember, in the day they had these Macy's displays window, and he had a little operation in the basement where he would make all these animated figures. So I grew up watching, and then I guess this was before computers. So I grew up watching stepper motors and gears and looking how to try to mimic human motion. I really got interested in that. And I decided I actually wanted to go to MIT to study biomechanics and human motion. And I started working in a biomotion lab that was associated with a couple of orthopedic surgeons. And I told one of them what I wanted to do, which is to get a PhD in biomechanics. And after talking with him and working with him, he convinced me that I could do a lot more and have a lot more options if I actually went to medical school and became an orthopedic surgeon. And I could still do a lot of research and develop a lot of things, but I would have the medicine side as well as the engineering side, which was really great. So now I do a lot of research and develop a lot of instruments and implants and can kind of bridge that gap between the clinical side as a physician and the engineering side as a mechanical engineer.
It makes perfect sense. Now, there's a lot's happened since then, since your education. 20,000 outpatient joint replacements.
Many
That's
things have happened. I've lost my hair too. Yeah.
it just seems remarkable to get that much done. And you've got like a sort of a it sounds like a much different approach where it's sort of less intrusive, less evasive. You even have like a telemedicine component to get people involved. Can you talk a little bit about how you've sort of refined this process over the years?
Sure. So what I started doing a little over 25 years ago was to invent minimally invasive surgery. That's surgery without cutting the muscles, ligaments, and tendons. At the time, everyone thought, I thought too, that most of the pain and problems with recovery patients were having were from the bone, because we cut the bone, we put the prosthesis in. And that was 90% of the problem, and the soft tissue was only 10% of the problem. So I believe that too. I was wrong, but I believe that too. But I started working on it, trying to make that 10% better, because 10% better is better than no percent better. So I started working on minimally invasive surgery. Everyone told me I was crazy, it wasn't worth 10%, but I'm 10% is 10%. That's good. So I started working and developing minimally invasive surgery. I developed hundreds of different instruments, different techniques in a cadaver lab. I spent couple years going to cadaver lab almost every night and looking at intervals and looking at muscles and where things were and how to do things, and developed all these crazy instruments as well. And then started doing minimally invasive hip replacement first. We did it without cutting the muscles, ligaments, and tendons. And to my surprise, it wasn't a little better. It was a lot better. It turns out that 80% of the problem is from what we do as surgeons. We cut, we pull, we tear the muscles, ligaments, and tendons. The bone itself, once you put the prosthesis in, is so much better than what you had, but it's the muscles, ligaments, and tendons that we bugger up with the surgery that causes the pain, the swelling, the slow recovery, and ultimately the joint not working so well. Because once you get scar tissue, it doesn't work well again, right? It doesn't replace normal tissue. So I started doing outpatient surgery. At the time, patients were spending 7 to 10 days in the hospital. My patients felt so good that in a couple hours, they're like, well, we could spend another week, but why would we? We feel great. We're doing all the things we're supposed to do, which is walking around feeling good at a week, but it's really 3 hours. Can't we go home? So I changed all the medications and how we did anesthesia, kind of a very holistic approach to make everyone get better faster. Well, once I did that, and that was 25 years ago, did the first outpatient, everyone thought I was crazy, and it's taken a long time for this to slowly, gradually catch on. It hasn't caught on everywhere yet, for sure, but people are starting to do this. So I said, well, okay, we did that part. Now, how about the rest of it? So if patients are feeling better, why are we doing general anesthesia, knocking people out so they feel miserable for 3 days? Let's do regional anesthesia so they're just numb from the waist down. So 20 minutes after surgery, this is how you feel, normal. Right? And with minimally invasive surgery, it doesn't hurt as much. It doesn't swell as much. So we don't need as much medication. Let's cut down on the medication, which makes you feel bad and people don't like taking pain medications. So we changed the whole anesthesia, the pain protocol. And then I said, well, I'm trying to make surgery easier and more available to everyone. Why am I making patients come to the office and come all the way to Chicago just to spend 10 minutes with me and tell them I need a joint replacement? So let's do that over the computer. And that's what we do. We started this BEST procedure, and I named it Burger Elective Surgery with Telemedicine BEST. And so what we do is I've always seen patients from all over the country, in fact, all over the world. But why should they come all the way to Chicago just to see me? Let's do it on the computer, make it easy for them. And in fact, even if you live a half hour away, your time's valuable. Wouldn't you rather do it over the computer rather than come to my office? Of course you would. You're easier. You're in a beautiful environment. You're in your office. Wouldn't you rather do it there than come to my office? So we do it for patients across the country, across the world, but also 5 minutes away if they'd rather do it that way. My desire is to make the entire process from start to finish as easy as possible so people get their joints fixed and can take back their life.
That really sounds remarkable and so valuable. You know, I think many golfers, I think we fear, taking action with hip or knee replacement or knee pain, really, kind of just kind of keep kicking it down the road. What would you tell the golfers like that to know? Because I mean, it sounds like this process, you've really smoothed it out to where instead of playing with pain, they could avoid that.
Yeah. So just about everyone says the same thing when I see him back in the office, which is why did I wait so long? And most people wait so long. Some of them don't know this is available. Some of them are just hesitant or afraid. And this is so easy, right? You come in, you have the surgery. 2 hours later, you're back in your car. An hour after that, you're back home and you recover from home. You feel great almost right away. You can get back golfing as soon as you want. I've got plenty of people who get back and start putting and chipping at a week. The best story I've ever heard of golfing is a guy 10 days out came back and he just played his first round of golf. And I said, great, 10 days out from a knee replacement, 10 days. I said, how'd you do? He's like, I took 5 strokes off my game. I'm like, how'd you take 5 strokes off my game? He's like, well, I wasn't hitting the ball as hard, so it stayed in the fairway. So golf is a crazy game, right? So, but I would tell people not to wait. What are they waiting for? It's not going to get better. It's only getting worse. And if you get it taken care of, you can enjoy your life. You know, arthritis takes away your life. It takes away the things you like to do, and they're just not as fun anymore. Take back your life, continue to play golf better, and enjoy it more.
So I guess this would be maybe a way to allow people to identify if their thinking is that way right now. But what are the biggest misconceptions golfers might have about hip and knee replacement surgery and recovery the way you go about it?
Sure. I think the biggest misconceptions are is that simply it's going to take too long to recover. It's going to ruin my golf season. It's going to ruin the next season, and I'm not going to be any better. That's so not true. You can get it done and just in a month and a half be back golfing better than you ever have. You're still going to hit the ball in the water, but but you're going to have more fun doing it with less pain. Nothing's worse than wincing and trying to protect that joint. It shortens your club speed, your whole gait, everything is just off because you don't know if it's going to hurt or not. You're so used to it hurting that you're trying to avoid it, you're expecting it to, and even if it doesn't hurt, it doesn't matter, it ruins your swing anyway, right? And patients tell me that it's so remarkable. They're waiting for their knee or hip to hurt, but it doesn't hurt anymore. And it takes them a long time just to get used to the fact that it's just not hurting anymore.
Yeah, that's interesting that you bring that up because there was a golfer who played in this tournament last weekend, Colin Morikawa, and he talked about that. He said he had a back issue, but he said it was in his brain, right? And he didn't know when he pulled it back if he's going to have pain or not, and that impacted everything. And it changed his swing, it changed how he approached the game. So I would imagine if you're dealing with something that's sporadic, it's probably going to cause other issues.
Yeah, it causes problems, with every swing because you don't know you can have it or not. It just doesn't cause the problems that hurt, causes all those problems. And then you get into other things where your hip is hurting. Suddenly you're not using your back right. Now your back hurts. You're not using your knee right. Your knee hurts. And now it's a whole body thing where it's just not one part anymore. Now everything hurts. You're not swinging with your body. You're trying to use your arms. Now you get tendonitis in your shoulder or your elbow because your knee hurts.
So you mentioned, the possibility of perhaps a week, 10 days, get back to chipping and perhaps putting. Can you talk a little bit about what the rehab looks like after a joint replacement?
So after a joint replacement, for the first week, I want you to rest, just hang out, do very little, just simply recover. After that, whatever you want to do as soon as you want to do it. Some people take it slower, some people are more aggressive. For the people who are aggressive, I tell them back they can get back golfing in about 2 weeks and plan to probably play their first 18 in about 3 weeks. But everyone's different, and some people have played 18 as short as 10 days.
And then, so let's talk about hip replacement. If you're getting a hip replacement, what's the longevity? Like, how long can you expect that to last? And once it's done in the person?
So if it's done without cutting the muscles, ligaments, and tendons, it performs more normally and naturally, and that protects the joint. The same way that strong muscles, ligaments, and tendons protect your own joints, strong muscles, ligaments, and tendons that haven't been cut protect the artificial joint. So with the way that I do the surgery, patients not only recover faster and their joint works better, but actually probably lasts a little longer as well. For us, for a hip replacement, hip replacements are going to last for about 20 or 30 years. What wears out usually is the bearing surface. That's a little piece of plastic in there. That piece of plastic is modular. So the same way you don't throw out your car if your tires wear out, you don't get a whole new hip if that little bearing wears out. You just open up the hip through a small incision again, take that little piece of plastic out, just pop in a new piece of plastic, and you're good for another 20, 30 years or 40 or 60,000 miles.
Yeah, that's it. It sounds remarkable. It sounds like an oil change, basically.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
So then, can you talk a little bit about, since you've been doing this for 25 years, can you talk about some of the things that the biggest advancements that you've seen? Obviously, like you said, you've been designing your own approach to this, probably a lot of the components that have gone into it. What are the things that have really made the big jumps in these past 25 years for you?
So I think the biggest jump is first minimally invasive surgery without cutting the muscles, ligaments, and tendons. That's the first jump. Second jump is going home the same day. Hospitals are a great place if you're sick, but if you're healthy, hospitals are the worst place, right? We know that the third leading cause of death in the United States is being in the hospital. The third, behind cancer and heart disease. That is a great place to be if you're sick, but not a really good place to be if you're healthy. So go home. You'll recover faster. You'll be happier with everyone around you, back in your own environment. So I think that's a really big one. And then the thing after that is changing the entire system. So changing how we do the anesthesia. We don't use general anesthesia. We do regional anesthesia. So again, 20 minutes later, this is how you feel normal. We cut down a lot on the medications so that you don't feel that terrible, rundown, drunk feeling of being on medications. And then I think the part after that is just changing our entire system. I'm trying to make it easier from start to finish. So not just worried about the surgery, but looking at the patients in a whole as the person from the time they first make the telephone call, to the time they have surgery, to the time they come back to see us in the office, just to make that entire process as simple, as easy as they can to try to allay their fears and try to help as many people as we can, because we know that only about 3 in 10 people that would benefit from a joint replacement actually get a joint replacement. There's so many more that don't get it because they don't know, they're afraid, whatever. So get it, take back your life, and get out of pain.
That's a great statistic. 3 in 10 could benefit from it. That's, I guess
Three
then.
and yeah, so out of 10 people who could benefit from it, only 3 get a joint replacement. Yeah, so seven don't, for whatever reason.
Seven suffer with it,
Yeah,
and
exactly.
they don't realize sort of the approach that you've taken, because I'm assuming that there's these trepidations that we've kind of talked about that you've been working on for 25 years, which is fantastic.
Yeah, people are just afraid, you know, they're afraid of, I think mostly they're afraid of pain, and we have very little pain. So the irony is that they suffer in pain for years and years and years and years because they're afraid of a little pain from surgery, which, by the way, we have very little.
So I'd like to finish up with two questions, one looking forward, one looking back. First of all, what excites you the most about the future of orthopedic surgery, at least the way you go about it in, say, like the next 10 years?
So hopefully I'll be around for more than 10 years, but I love what I do. I'll continue to operate for the next 15 years at least. But what excites me the most is just getting more people, more surgeons to have the same mindset of helping people, thinking them as people in a holistic approach, and also learning minimally invasive surgery so that patients just simply recover faster. You know, robots were supposed to help surgeons be better surgeons. They haven't, unfortunately. Robots are okay surgeons. So if you're a bad surgeon, you should use a robot because that'll make you okay. But if you're a good surgeon, actually, it makes you a lot worse. So don't find someone who knows how to use a robot. Find someone who knows what they're doing, who has a lot of experience, who specializes in hip and knee replacements. You'll get better faster, more completely, and back to your life. And that's what excites me the most about the next 10 or 15 years.
So then, last question for you, kind of looking back, we talked about how you got going down this path and all the things that you've done. You've helped thousands of people now throughout your career. What's one rewarding patient story that kind of still sticks with you and makes you proud of everything that you've accomplished?
Wow, that's hard to get to one. You know, I've done 20,000 outpatient joint replacements now. And I can certainly tell you about the patient who is now the world record holder in triathlons in his age group, 70, 75, with two knee replacements. Certainly proud of that. I'm proud about the professional golfers I've helped, one of which who won a senior major. And I could tell you about all the wonderful people that I've met, both famous and not. But my proudest story probably is a gentleman who I saw a couple of years ago. He was a school teacher here in Chicago. Just loved to teach, been teaching for a long time. His classroom was on the second floor. He had terrible hip and knee arthritis. In fact, was in a wheelchair and could not teach anymore. And you could tell he just had such a passion for it. I'm sure his students loved him because he just was so great. And he was going to retire because he just couldn't do it anymore. So he came in, he had two bad hips and two bad knees. And over 3 months, we did two hips and two knees. He could stand up straight again for the first time in many years. He could walk upstairs for the first time in many years. And he started towards the end of the school year and was back the next school year in September, back in his second floor class, walking up the stairs, teaching and helping so many people. So I was able to help one person who subsequently has helped hundreds, if not thousands. So that's probably my best story.